Drones, money, and illegal immigration. What do they have in common? I'm going to talk about it coming up on this hour of America Tonight. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney here by your side out there in all those nooks and crannies. Think you're going to see a drone overhead anytime soon? There's a big fear of dronage in this country and elsewhere, especially all the hubbub over Department of Justice memo. Is it legal? Is it ethical? Oh, what shall we do? But we're not talking about drones just in the United States. We're talking about drones that killed two big and bad terrorists that were looking to spread as much Islamic jihadism as you could possibly muster. And we'll talk about that in just a second. But first, a big shout out to all the people, the FBI in particular, involved in what happened in that Alabama hostage situation in that bunker. Finally, after days, they were able to resolve this thing. And I say days, where the concern was over a five-year-old boy who might not see his sixth birthday, which, by the way, he will now, because they rescued him. It's a delicate thing when you negotiate with somebody who's a complete whack job, who took a boy off a bus after killing a bus driver and scaring the kids on the bus. So for a week, 65-year-old Jimmy Lee Dykes was in a bunker with the five-year-old boy. It turned into a firefight in the end. SWAT agents stormed the bunker. He was killed during the rescue operation. Bomb techs, because he had 100 acres, scoured his piece of property in Midland City, Alabama, for explosives. One was in the bunker, one was in a plastic pipe that the negotiators used to actually communicate with the guy. Imagine if that had gone off. So the bunker was so reinforced, there wasn't a way to get in. And it was tough to figure out a way around it. They're still sweeping the property for anything they can find out. Luckily, the guy was getting, Dykes was getting agitated. He had a gun. They could figure that out. So when that started to turn, the negotiations weren't going well. A lot of the details we don't even know. But they had some kind of a camera that they could sneak down, and they saw that he was armed. So they were worried. But they got the kid out. He dies, got the kid out. That's the perfect ending, because Dykes was out of his mind. He had already killed one person, and who knows how far he would have gone with the kid. So neighbors are saying it sounded like gunshots, explosions, all this kind of stuff. But nobody's talking about how many guns were fired and all that kind of stuff. They saved this kid. Saved this kid so that he makes it to his sixth. Huge. And it had to be more than relieved. All over Midland, Alabama, there were ribbons and flyers and vigils and candles and stuffed animals and prayers and everything that you can imagine. It worked. It worked. And so they're celebrating that the poor little boy was rescued, was returned safely. And Dykes, what happened? A Vietnam vet, described by the neighbors as an unstable, menacing sort who beat a dog to death and threatened to shoot any trespassers. He finally had his day when he went to the kids on the bus and killed the driver. All of those kids, by the way, still not back to school. But this has a happy ending, because this could have ended much differently. So it's nice. It's nice to get to the good stuff once in a while, isn't it? Congress says they're determined to get to the bottom of drone strikes. They're uncomfortable with Obama's boys using deadly drones. They want to limit America's authority to kill suspected terrorists, even U.S. citizens. The drone program has been used from Pakistan to parts all over the Middle East and into North Africa, especially Yemen. They're really pushing for North Africa to find, kill suspected terrorists. Get them out of the way. They're plotting. They want to kill us. But now the Senate Intelligence Committee is going to grill John Brennan, who's the White House's choice for the CIA chief. The White House is defending lethal drones, talking about laws that even some people in Congress thought were appropriate. This goes back to September 11th, and, do we need to reel this in or not? Is this too broad? Are we breaking the Constitution? What are we doing here? Congressman Steny Hoyer said that we got to look at this. The decisions to kill, eliminate, whatever you want to say, other citizens and American citizens. And specifically, this goes back to a couple of well-known terrorists who would have gone to the ends of the earth to poison the minds of as many boys that they could to get them ultimately to turn on the United States. Anwar Awlaki, Samir Khan. Awlaki, if he had his way, would have blown up that plane in Detroit in 2009 and ruined Christmas and really changed what we were looking at. Also, cargo planes, 2010, almost happened. Khan was massively involved in the propaganda cycle for Al-Qaeda. And trust me, Brennan knows about it. Probably what he'll talk about, what he can talk about anyway, when they grill him on the Hill. But then he had a son, Awlaki, a 16-year-old, who also was killed in a drone attack, a separate attack, and a suspected Al-Qaeda den. So here's the thing. If he has his kid near him, what do you expect's going to happen here? Who knows what the kid was involved in? We don't know. The drones have certainly strained our diplomatic efforts in some nations because of the collateral damage, the people who have been killed near the targeted terrorists. But most nations have given the thumbs up to Washington to carry out attacks. Yemen is the perfect example of that. But there's been a lot of U.S. drone strikes last month, and some people have been killed. The public there are upset. They're talking about reconsidering. Why don't you reconsider how you're using the drones? So what do you say? If we scale back the use of the drones, don't you think that hampers our ability to eliminate risks from Al-Qaeda? Clearly, we know that the drones have taken out people that were going to carry out plots. Do we have to wait till more people are murdered? You want to throw in your 2 cents? You can. 855-266-KATE. 855-266-5283. Heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschammel from Midas Resources. As you know, federal government spending is at an all-time high, and inflation will be a direct result of the spending policy. European government and central bank spending policies have put the European Union on the brink of collapse. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? Are your assets working for you or against you? One thing is certain. Having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens to our economy or the dollar, your investment will never be worthless. And it will protect you from that hidden tax, inflation. If you've been thinking about investing in physical possession of precious metals or having an IRA in precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel, 800-686-2237, extension 108. And I'll take the time to personally put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call 800-686-2237. Extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call Peter at 800-686-2237, extension 108.
In the U.S., one in every 50 homes will have a break-in this year. Burglars call it smash and grab. Police call it robbery. We call it avoidable. We are Fake TV, a simple electronic device that can fool even professional burglars. Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet and simulates the changing colors of a television. To a burglar, it looks like someone must be home watching TV, so they'll likely move on to an easier target. At only $34.95, Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans. And it's perfect if you're traveling or away from home. Order your Fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in the boat? My head keeps spinning. Sleep and keep grinning. If this is just the beginning, my life is gonna be beautiful. I've sunshine enough to spread. It's just like that fella said.
All right, once again,
be quick.
Active here on America Tonight. When it comes to the mailbag, I always say if you want to vent and you can't jingle, then go to the website, americatonight.net, click on contact, and let it fly. I guarantee you'll probably end up on the air. If you do want to call in, you still can, 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. So on that note, I got my shoes on. I'm heading down to the mail room. Let's check the snail mail.
You have mail, mistress.
Ah, thank you very much. This one comes to us from Jake in Austin. He says, Delaney, I know you like this kind of stuff. I heard you talking about the toy gun the other night and the kid who got suspended from school. I'm sure you've seen this, but what about the second grader who was bounced over the pretend grenade? Is that ridiculous or what? He's just a kid. He was playing on the playground. For goodness sake, what are we turning our kids into? I don't understand it. I have two. I don't know if I've mentioned it. Both boys, and they play all kinds of games. And if they were simulating throwing a grenade, I can't imagine how I would feel as a parent if I got the phone call and I had to pick them up. Shame on the school. Yeah, I did see that story. It was a big story. 7-year-old kid. It was out when they were playing at a recess. It was called Rescue the World is the name of the game they were playing. And it was in Denver. The second grader pretended to throw a grenade into a box of what he was calling evil forces. He's a kid. You know, they're inventing things, making things up. So because of that, and they were seeing, some of the teachers were seeing what was going on, they decided that, oh, weapons and pretending and fighting, that is not a no-no here at Mary Blair Elementary School. So they called his mother, and he was suspended because of that. So the kid is essentially thinking he's saving the world, you know, like the Avengers and the X-Men and the things that he probably has watched, but can't do that at school. That's wrong. There was the fifth grader who, and I think that's what Jake's referring to, but a piece that had a gun that was in the shape of a paper, just paper that was rolled up like a gun. You know, you make paper shapes. And she got reprimanded. She didn't get suspended, but this kid got suspended. And, wow, I mean, come on. There has to be some common sense here. Isn't there common sense? I guess we have no more common sense. If you simulate anything, you know, it just reminds me of when Jake wrote that note, and I read it. I don't know why, I just had an immediate flash to this. But maybe it was after 9/11. It probably was, I'm going to say 7 years ago. I was in Vegas with some friends, and we all came from different places, so we were on separate planes, met each other, had a great time, you know, with Days in Vegas, that whole thing. No, it wasn't that exciting. But we were there for a couple of days. We all left, boom. Get on our respective planes. When I'm going to get on the plane, they have these actors on the screens, and they're pumping out this stuff about, do not make any jokes, talk, or simulate anything that could be misconstrued as something you're not supposed to talk about when it comes to any kind of ammunition or guns or terrorism or threats or whatever. And they kept rolling this tape over and over again. I thought, oh, man. So you got to monitor your speech. I understand when someone's a nut and they're screaming stupid things out, and of course you're getting agitated on purpose and you pull them aside. But just somebody having a conversation says something, you think, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, these red flags that we're planting all over the place, sometimes they're just a little bit too much. Let's throw up the white flag and say, if a kid wants to pretend he's saving the world, look at the things that are on TV. Look at the movies that are very, very popular that kids are watching. None bigger than the Avengers and Iron Man. What do you think Iron Man is doing? Iron Man 3 is coming out. The kids will be all over this thing. We're talking young kids, 7-8-year-old kids, will probably go to this movie. So he was simulating that in the playground. It's crazy. It's crazy. All right, let's take another one. This one comes to us from the man from a town called Absurd. I didn't want to give my real name. I wanted to be a little bit anonymous, although I suppose if you peruse the Internet, all the people who comment on blogs are pretty much anonymous. Do you think their names are real? Here's my deal, Kate. I don't understand this debate, this waste of brain cells and breath on the immigration issue, the illegal immigration issue, because we have laws on the books. They were never enforced. And people who make the money, have the money, pay off the politicians, in other words, pay for their re-election campaigns, own big farms, own meatpacking companies, own factories, have people working in their homes, have people working on their grounds, have people working at the country club, they think they're providing a service. Oh, to themselves, certainly, but also to the people. And do you think that ICE or anyone else is going to crack down on those folks? The answer is no. So why do we bother with this charade? We're wasting our money, and we're paying for committee hearings after committee hearings on the same thing. They can talk about bipartisan all they want. We've had that before, and who cares? It has never worked. Maybe we should just leave well enough alone and build bigger walls. Yeah, that's what we keep saying. There are laws. Go through the laws. What hasn't worked? What has worked? Let's hear it. We know they're there. You can Google it. You can find it out. Go back to the Reagan administration. They were talking about cracking down on people who employed people illegally. I mean, give me a break with this nonsense. And it is. It is your money and my money. Your taxes are being paid for all these committee hearings because we're the ones who pay the salaries. That's what the money is being spent on. Let's go to Izzy in Missouri. Hello, Izzy.
Hi, Kate.
Hello. What's up?
Well, my good news is I won $600 on the Super Bowl.
Wow. $600? Congratulations. That's awesome.
I thought it was since I never win anything.
Cool. I love it.
Just by the seat of my pants flew and put down $10.
And, woohoo!
I got a call Monday morning. I'm like, you're kidding. Anyway, yep, that was my good news.
Yay.
Immigration, the email you just read took all my bluster away because he hit all the pawns and he hit
yeah.
it well. By the way, those committee hearings, I don't know if people realize it. When you're appointed to committees, you get paid extra in addition to that nice little salary and all the perks that our elected people get.
Right.
Those are all they make more money. So when they say, well, we are only paid 170-some thousand a year, I'm like, But you get at least another 100,000 or so to serve on committees.
Yes.
And I don't think most people realize that.
Yeah, we've talked about that, but you're right. Yeah, it's good to point that out. It's more money. Yeah.
The drone thing,
mm-hmm.
personally, I hate to be nasty, but I don't really care about collateral damage because during World War II, did anybody care about collateral damage in the Philippines?
No.
The Japanese tortured and killed many thousands of Filipinos?
No.
No. Did anybody care about what the Germans were doing to innocent French people?
No.
Or anything. You know, the United States has always been held to a higher standard. My only concern with drones is that with Obama at the helm, oh, my gosh, they'll be turned on American citizens in country.
Yeah, I don't want that.
But do I care about what's going on? No, we should be bombing the crap out of those people. And if their own citizens are going to support the Al-Qaeda or jihadists, then, sorry, gee, you lose too. I know that sounds heartless, but war, I think you said it too, war is war, and that's just part of war. So, nope, I don't have a problem. If you find some terrorists, go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. It's what we say all the time, Izzy. Great call. Congratulations on the $600, but, you know, you have to decide. And it's true, we are held to a higher standard, but then people will say, well, that's why we're the United States of America. I get it. But, you know, are you going to stop terrorism? Are you going to risk it? What, you know, where do we split the difference here, folks? I mean, really, think about it. Stay with us.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Preparedness is simple when you have the right stuff. And with the looming threat of economic collapse and possible service interruption, it's time to get the best-in-class preparedness stuff at DisasterStuff.com. DisasterStuff.com has been serving smart preppers for over 15 years with quality products like Berkey water filters. DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. And as always, free shipping on all Berkey products. Stock up on water barrels and accessories. Get Country Living or Wonder Mill grain mills. Excalibur food dehydrators. Tatler reusable canning lids, Sun Oven solar cookers, EMP bags to protect sensitive electronics, and don't be without your Life Straw personal water filter, all from DisasterStuff.com. Preparedness is simple, with the right stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
In this unpredictable world, disaster can strike anyone. That's why an essential part of any emergency survival plan must be stove in a can. When power goes out and gas lines are down, the portable, safe, easy-to-use stove in a can cooks food up to 4 hours and boils water in as little as 5 minutes. Stove in a can comes with everything you need. The stove, fuel, even waterproof matches, all in a compact, durable, heavy-duty container. Plus, the all-natural, non-explosive, 100% waterproof fuel source can be stored indefinitely. Say goodbye to the hassle and danger of propane, lighter fluid, or gas. Stock up now and protect your family with Stove in a Can, starting out at $29.99. Special bundle offers now available with a 100% satisfaction guarantee or your money back. Order yours today at stoveinacan.com. That's stoveinacan.com.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Talk about then Lincoln, the buzzword, man. There's another show on. Just the other day I saw something on the History Channel about Lincoln. That's not a surprise. Lots of books have been written. A lot of conversation this year over whether or not Daniel Day-Lewis will win for Best Actor in his portrayal of Lincoln. Steve Shanken is in the wings to talk about something different, a historian, about a crazy story with Lincoln's birthday and President's Day coming up. About the attempt to actually steal Lincoln's body. What? Steve, thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks so much. I love talking about this story because it is crazy, and it's the kind of thing you just couldn't make up.
Yeah, before we get into that story, though, I just set you up, the whole thing with Oscar. Did you see Lincoln?
No, I'm probably one of the few Americans who hasn't because I have young kids and I never get out to see movies.
That's funny. We'll have to get you a copy of that and send it to you. I haven't seen
please.
It either. I heard it's good, though. All right, so tell us about Lincoln's body and the story about somebody trying to plot to rob the grave of Lincoln.
Yeah, it's crazy, but, you know, everyone knows he was assassinated at the end of the Civil War and brought back home to Springfield, where he was from in Illinois, and they built this fancy tomb for him, which actually, if you go there today, it looks exactly like it did back then. And there was a little room, basically, above ground where they kept his body. So he's in there. 10 years pass, and it's really not, even though it's about grave robbing, it's really the main characters are actually counterfeiters, which is interesting. Counterfeiting was a huge problem back then. And some counterfeiters were making tons of money, literally making money, in the Midwest. But when one of their members, it was the engraver, the artist, who was making this beautiful fake money, he got arrested and thrown in jail. So these kind of bumbling crooks, you know, they decided they would do anything to get him out, anything. So you'd think, well, that means, well, let's see, we'll bribe somebody, we'll dig an escape tunnel. No. They thought, we'll go to Springfield, we'll break into the tomb, we'll steal Lincoln's corpse, we'll hide it somewhere, and then when everyone notices he's gone, we'll demand our guy, our engraver, out of jail as a trade-off. And that was actually their plan.
Well, and, of course, that plan didn't work, did it?
Well, actually, it almost did. That's what's crazy about the story. It really turns into a cops and robbers thriller because, you know, they planned for several months. They were actually kind of smart. They picked election night in 1876, which was a really contentious, very partisan election. Makes us look tame by comparison. And everybody was, you know, very excited. So, of course, everyone goes to the big city, Springfield, to see what's going on and follow the election returns. And no one was out at the graveyard, so it was actually a great night to pull this crime. But there's a parallel story that goes on with the Secret Service. And one of the things I actually didn't know before I researched this book is that the Secret Service wasn't founded to protect the president. It was founded to fight counterfeiting. And a Secret Service agent got wind of the plot through one of his undercover agents. And he was there the night of the robbery to break it up. And almost didn't, even though he had, you know, news about the plot ahead of time, he still almost blew it. And they actually did break in, the robbers did break into the tomb and succeeded in getting Lincoln out of the marble box that he was in and were actually dragging him out the door when the cops finally showed up and there was a shootout. The two counterfeiters got away on that night, which is very embarrassing for the police since they actually knew ahead of time and were there, supposedly staking the place out. And then the counterfeiters did what stupid criminals always do. They just went right back to their home base in Chicago, where the police looked for them, of course, and arrested them. And they claimed they had nothing to do with it. They said, "What? We don't know what you're talking about. No, we didn't try to steal Lincoln."
Wow. And they didn't they try to, after that, we didn't try to steal Lincoln, didn't they then try to, I mean, were they, what happened? Were they convicted? Did they scatter? Were
yeah.
they trying to get out of town? What happened?
No, they were put on trial. They were hauled back to Springfield, which, you know, talk about a hostile crowd. And these guys tried to steal Abraham Lincoln's body. And they're hauled back and tried in Springfield. But at the time, and this is the weirdest part, is that the grave robbing was a big problem, not because people were trying to use bodies as hostages, but because medical schools would pay for bodies to use in their classes. So it was actually a big problem. But it wasn't, in terms of the legality of it, a huge crime. So they were put on trial. They denied everything, but there was a lot of evidence against them. And they were convicted and given very short, I think, 9-month sentences. So it actually wasn't punishable. It seems like a terrible crime, but legally it wasn't.
Boy, no kidding. Is it true, too, that they were, after that, wasn't it about, as you were talking about when we first started here, were they moving the body around? Was that you moving it around so people didn't know if for sure he was there or not?
Yeah, since they had succeeded in moving the actual body inside this marble box, there was a lead coffin, and Lincoln was inside this lead coffin, and since they had moved that, the guys who ran the tomb at Springfield said, well, we're going to put him back in something a little more secure, but before we do, since this story was a huge story and very embarrassing, big newspaper story at the time, they said, you know what we better do, just to make sure no rumors float around that maybe these guys really stole Lincoln, we better just open this up and look inside. And I love telling kids that part because it really grosses them out, and they love it. So they called a plumber, of all things, from Springfield. They said, can you come out and meet us out at the tomb? And, of course, they needed a plumber because they wanted someone who could work with lead. And the guy was used to using, you know, opening lead pipes and such. So they said, just bring your tools out here. We want to show you something. and I brought out a bunch of friends of Lincoln. He'd only been dead 10 years, so all these guys still knew him, and they said, come out to the, you know, we want you to see something. Come out to the tomb. And this plumber opened the lead coffin and peeled back a little flap above Lincoln's face, and there he was. The friends looked, and they said he looked just wonderful, really. He looked just like a statue of himself, essentially. And they had done such a good job embalming him in the White House right after he had been killed, because they knew they wanted to take him back very, very slowly on this train.
Right.
So they used the highest, you know, the best technology they could use. And they had done such a good job that even 10 years later, apparently, he, you know, the clothes, they said, were a little musty and smelled a little bit, but he looked great.
Wow. Have any laws been changed or anything since then? Because it's crazy that they barely even got a year for this attempted stealing Lincoln's body.
That's a great question. I don't know. Maybe a legal expert could tell us if you'd get a bigger sentence for doing something like that today. The laws, the things that the authorities did that made sense was they made it easier for people to donate bodies to science so that people didn't have to feel they could steal them, because that was a huge industry then. You could just dig up a fresh body, bring it to a medical college, and they'd give you not much, like $20 or something. No questions asked, of course. And so laws were changed to try to stop that little industry from going on.
Yeah, there was something also that happened, and maybe it's related to the fact that there was the attempt to rob the tomb and get Lincoln out and then hold him for ransom, you know, demand ransom and gold and the release from prison of their other associates, too. That was another thing. And you talked about the counterfeiters, obviously, that the tomb is haunted. Have you heard that? Then that can be part of the whole legacy and the gossip that, geez, maybe the tomb is haunted. People have sworn by that. It's funny how things, once a story starts, things go in a lot of different directions, but I've heard that story several times. They feel like there's ghosts and there's strange occurrences and that kind of thing.
It should be. I mean, if you believe in such things. I went there, of course, just to research, and I didn't sense that. You know, I'm open to that possibility, but I was actually scared to talk to the park ranger type guys who work there. You know, they're obviously very reverent. It's Abraham Lincoln, and I was scared to tell them that I was doing this story because I thought they'd say, oh, that's not a respectful story. But when I told this one guy who was there, he got really excited, and he said, oh, I'll show you all the places tourists don't get to see.
Mm.
And he took me behind. There's this beautiful, elegant kind of room that you go in the tomb, but you don't really see beyond that. And he took me into they called it the catacombs in the olden days, underneath the monument, these kind of old foundations that looked just like they looked when the robbers were hiding there. And it was cold and very wet, but I didn't notice any supernatural elements. It could be.
Yeah, that might be a good thing. And then Secret Service involvement in this is really interesting, I think, as you were saying. And it's part of your novel, Lincoln's Grave Robbers, right? All the stuff that we just talked about.
Yeah. Yeah, the main character, if there is, there's a couple main characters, but one of them is this guy, Patrick Tyrell, who is a Secret Service agent in Chicago, who was in charge of most of the Midwest. It was an impossible job. I think he had 3 deputies or something. But he got wind. He used these guys called ropers. There's a lot of great slang from these days. And they were just criminal informers, real criminals who would just take money to let the Secret Service know what was going on. And it was one of his ropers who let him know about this plot. And so that's how he ended up getting involved in the grave robbing and eventually
foiling the plot. Steve Shankin, interesting stuff, man. Good luck with your book, and thanks for coming on the show before President's Day. Happy President's Day.
Thanks so much. It's really fun. Thank you.
Thanks, Stephen.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay, and after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Balance, harmony, mental alertness, physical well-being. If once you possess these qualities, but stress now weighs you down, you can get your mental edge back in a holistic approach with Nootropic Mind Power from MindRegard.com. Not a drug, Nootropic Mind Power is a lasting, proven natural supplement with 12 powerful ingredients in nutraceutical compounds and are non-GMO. Plus, it's gluten-free, wheat-free, and formulated by Americans for Americans by an NSF-certified laboratory. Nootropic Mind Power is available at MindRegard.com, spelled MindRegard.com, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Free your mind with Nootropic Mind Power Cognitive Supplement from MindRegard.com. MindRegard. Clearly see tomorrow and yesterday today.
Of course, if one of your heroes is killed, why not build an amusement park where they killed him? Pakistan is planning to build a $30 million park, an outdoor activity center, on the very edge of Abbottabad, where special forces killed Osama bin Laden. It's a private venture in the foothills of the Himalayas. It's going to include a zoo, water park, mini golf course, rock climbing, and all kinds of really cool things. Imagine. Sure. And they're talking about calling it Osama Park, but they're kind of rejecting that, thinking, oh, that might turn a few people off. After all, they'd love to have American tourists come to this new amusement park in Abbottabad. Any plans? Think you take the family there? I'm going to say I might have to go to Disneyland instead. Isn't that what Joe Flacco said after winning the Super Bowl? I'm going to Disneyland. 8.0, that was the magnitude of the quake near the Solomon Islands. You know, here's the deal, just 5 people dead, which when you think of the population on all of those islands, is close to 600,000. It's not good to have anyone die, but thank goodness it wasn't worse. 4 older people, 1 kid killed when the wave hit the Santa Cruz Islands. That would be on the eastern area if you looked at a map. You know how many of those islands there are? 200. Little tiny islands that are right there in the center of an earthquake region, and they are also obviously very vulnerable to tsunamis. So at 8.0, then another quake, 6.3, so a smaller wave and then a much deeper wave, and that's what ultimately killed those people. There was another earthquake, 7.7, that hit off the Canadian coast. What's going on with earthquakes? Are we just better at finding them and reporting them? Are we seeing that more are happening? 7.7, again, off the Canadian coast. The good news here is it was way off the coast, and nobody was killed in this one, because if you have a 7.7, 8.0 in California, New Jersey, Illinois, let's say, for example, forget about it. You're not going to get a lot of survivors there. Now, you had people shook up because of it, but nobody, as far as they know, killed. The damage, very, very what you would call low level. However, when you've got that kind of earthquake activity, the Weather Service issues a tsunami warning for a couple of areas, British Columbia, southern Alaska, and even Hawaii. So the first wave of the small tsunami they saw was about 4 inches, and it hit off the southeast coast of Alaska. And that's what they're looking for. They're looking for tsunamis. By the way, just for fun, I'll throw this in. Canada's largest earthquake, if you were wondering, you have to go back in the record books to 1700. 8.1 magnitude quake, August 22nd of 1949. Wow. 8.1, but since 1700, I'd say that's pretty good distance of time that elapsed between those earthquakes. In California, they always say, "When's the day?" When you live in California, which I did for a short amount of time, people, and they don't even talk about it. But if they do, it's, when is it going to happen? That's how pessimistic they are, thinking, of course, it's inevitable. Don't we live in the area where you get earthquakes? Dell decided to go private. Yep. Personal computers are slumping thanks to Apple. So, and the phones and the tablets and all of that. So Dell bowing out of the stock market, a $24.4 billion buyout. That is the largest deal of its kind since the recession dried up financing for what would be considered a little bit of a risky move. The stockholders get paid $13.65 to leave the company. So that's 25% more than the stock's price of $10.88 before the word of the buyout trickled out a couple of weeks ago, but it's way down from where it was 6 years ago when Michael Dell returned for a second stint as the CEO. Then it was like $24, I want to say. So people were dumping some money into Dell. So this is interesting, because what's happened now, is since it's dried up, is to finance the deal. You got $16 billion that was pumped in there from Michael Dell himself. So $16 billion, right? Or 14%, and an undisclosed little sliver of the $16 billion. I don't want to say it was all the $16 billion. Then you have Microsoft, which is a big customer of Dell's. They're pumping in $2 billion to the buyers. And then it goes on, trickles down from there. We won't go through every single cent of this deal. But if it's approved, it gives Dell his last chance to kind of restore the company that made him one of the biggest entrepreneurs in the country. I mean, this was the guy. Here's the saga. Here's the entrepreneurial story. He's a kid selling PCs out of his dorm room when he was a freshman at the University of Texas. But HP, other people, were more on the curve. And they knocked him off the map, and he struggled to come up with, what do you do when you got smartphones and tablet computers? And that, you're going back to the 80s when he came up with his computers, and things have really changed. If you look at technology now, it moves so fast, who knows what's next, really. And that's what everybody's trying to figure out. Who knows what's next? How can I become a millionaire with a very little amount of investment? Yep. Like lottery. It's like the lottery in the tech world, and for all of us, because every device keeps changing. I mean, it keeps changing. All right, so we move on to something else. The fact that if we look at Washington, and the conversation in Washington, you know, isn't it always about deficits and money? And wouldn't it be amazing if we use the word surplus? We have a surplus. What? How many greenback surpluses do we have? In my lifetime, I can't remember surpluses. Clinton administration. There was a reason for that surplus. We won't go into it now. Not during Week in Count. The federal budget deficit's going to drop below $1 trillion for the first time in Obama's tenure. The CBO, Congressional Budget Office, to you and me, says the government is going to run a $845 billion deficit this year. So that's a little bit of an improvement compared to last year's $1.1 trillion shortfall, but still enough that would require the government to borrow, ready for this, 24 cents of every dollar it spends. 24 cents, remember this number, of every dollar it spends. Over the coming decade, the deficit, the way we're headed, looks like it's going to total about $7 trillion as we keep going up and up and up and up and up. But it's old news. We know that this is the era that we live. This is the pressure that we live under. And what we're leaving future generations is very, very sad, my friends. I would love to get on the air and say, you know, it's interesting, but we have a deficit of just a teeny weeny amount that I think we can pay off. We're not paying on the interest anymore. It'd be like that feeling of when you're just being crucified by interest rates and paying things off, that all of a sudden a money bomb falls from the sky and you can pay it all off and your troubles seem to be out the door because you've paid off everything that you owe. Oof. All right, let's move on to something else. One of the saddest stories, I think, that came out of the weekend is the story of the Iraqi war vet and the mental health issues that he was suffering from, and the fact that Eddie Ray Routes, who's 25, went to a gun range in Glen Rose, Texas, thanks to a hero, a sniper hero, who had done four details in Iraq, Chris Kyle, who was helping him deal with his delayed stress. A terrible case of post-traumatic stress disorder. It's a Marine Corps reserve, the 25-year-old. And unfortunately, he shot Kyle and his friend Chad Littlefield. And now more details are starting to come out, except for the one detail, the big detail, is the red flags. He definitely had, and there are records that show it, that he had gotten psychiatric care twice in the last couple of months, that he was well away for a couple of days and was really suffering from PTSD. Awful, awful situation.
Is 2013 your year to achieve more vitality, more health, more well-being? Hi, this is Pastor Jenny. For 25 years, I spent my life's work teaching others how to achieve more. But in 2010, I got a lesson of my own about RNA drops. I learned that there are millions of gene switches latent in every single cell of my body that are waiting for an activator. I learned by taking RNA drops, I could begin to activate that power in my cells and achieve the more that I desire. I'd like to share what I discovered with you and send you a free 30-day supply of RNA drops valued at $50 for just the cost of shipping and handling. Go to rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call me toll free at 888-577-3703. That's 888-577-3703. rnafreesample.com. Discover the more that's waiting for you.